And I'd like to ask you to find your Bibles. If you want to use the Bibles that we have in the pew, we're going to be reading from Nehemiah chapter 8, beginning with verse 13. And if you use the Bibles that are in the seats with you, that is on page 511. Nehemiah chapter 8, beginning with verse 13. We return to the book of Nehemiah after a few weeks break, and we'll begin with verse 13 of Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8, beginning with verse 13. As you recall, the people had gathered together. The temple the walls had been rebuilt, and Ezra comes back onto the scene, and he leads a time of reformation of the people. And so after this great time of celebration, when the word of God was read and the people understood it, and many people wept and mourned as the word of God was read, but they're then told to recognize that the joy of the Lord is your strength. So after a time of mourning, they go forth and distribute gifts to other people and rejoice in the good things that God has brought about. And then we start with verse 13. So they spent many hours reading the word of God, as you recall. And the word of God was explained so that people could understand it. Now we start with verse 13. On the second day, the heads of the fathers' houses of all the people, with the priests and Levites, came together to Ezra the scribe in order to study the words of the law. And they found written in the law that the Lord had commanded by Moses that the people of Israel should dwell in booths during the feast of the seventh month, and that they should proclaim it and publish it in all their towns and in Jerusalem. Go out to the hills and bring branches of olive, wild olive, myrtle, palm, and other leafy trees to make booths, as is written. So the people went out and brought them and made booths for themselves, each on his roof, and in their courts, and in their courts of the house of God, and in the square at the water gate, and in the square at the gate of Ephraim. And all the assembly of those who had returned from the captivity made booths and lived in the booths from the days of Joshua the son of Nun to that day the people of Israel had not done so. And there was very great rejoicing. And day by day, from the first day to the last day, Ezra read from the book of the law of God. They kept the feast 7 days. On the eighth day, there was a solemn assembly according to the rule. Well, I share with our young friends that elephants never forget. And unfortunately, we are not elephants. We do tend to forget. And so the Bible several times commands us to remember. Remember Christ Jesus risen from the dead. Remember that you were aliens. Remember. Remember how the Lord your God led you in the wilderness. And so we are called to remember. And because God understood that we are not elephants, we do tend to forget. There were given festivals, and the people set up monuments to remember the ways of the Lord. So as the people are gathered here at this time of rejoicing, Ezra had read the law to them on the first day. Now the second day, the leaders come together, and they're wanting to know more about the law of God. Isn't that a very interesting picture? The people, by and large, had forgotten the word of God for generations. And, of course, led them into the captivity in Babylon. Now they've returned from their captivity. They rebuilt the altar. They rebuilt the temple. They rebuilt the walls. And now, once again, we see Ezra leading the people into a reformation of their lives. And they had read the law. And now the leaders come. And they come to Ezra saying, "We want to know more." Oh, but that we would have people like that in our society that would say, "We want to know more of the law of God." You see, we need to treasure the word of God. We need to delight in it. And here these leaders come and they're in essence doing that. And as they come to Ezra, as Ezra reads them the words of the law, verse 14 tells us it was found in the law that the people of God should dwell in booths during the seventh month. As you read on in the chapter, we realize that they had not done this since the days of Joshua. It's a really amazing thing. It was supposed to be a perpetual thing. So the Feast of Booths is also known as the Feast of Tabernacles, also called the Feast of the Ingathering, because not only on this particular day were they to celebrate the Feast of Booths, but it's also to be a time of celebrating the harvest. So the Feast of Booths, or the Feast of the Tabernacles, the Feast of the Ingathering, was one of the three main feasts that the Israelites had. Three times where all the men in Israel were called to assemble to Jerusalem. The other two was the Feast of Unleavened Bread, known more popularly as the Feast of the Passover. And then it was the Feast of Weeks, known more popularly as the Feast of Pentecost. And then the third time when all the men were to gather together was at the Feast of Booths, or the Feast of the Tabernacles. Because God has called people to remember. And so they set up these feasts and these festivals so that the people of God could remember. You remember, I trust, that on the hearth of, or above the hearth of John Newton's house was engraved the words of Deuteronomy 5:15. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. And also Deuteronomy 15:15 says basically the same thing. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. And in Ephesians 2, we were to remember that we were separated from Christ, that we were aliens to the promises of God. We were not part of the fellowship of God. We're to remember that. I remember the first prayer meeting that I ever attended as a young Christian. I remember there was a fellow there that had been in Vietnam and had suffered, as many people did in his time in Vietnam. And after that, he returned to the States and came to faith in Christ. And I remember him praying a very simple prayer. Lord, never let me forget what I was like before I came to faith in Christ. You see, we were aliens, strangers, separated from God. And Ephesians 2 tells us that you never to forget that. So, they celebrate these things because people are called to remember. You realize that they were often set up stones. When they crossed the Jordan River, they set up stones. When the people, the 2.5 tribes, are going back across the Jordan, they set up a monument. In 1 Samuel 7:12, Samuel sets up a monument. He calls it Ebenezer. From this time, the Lord has helped us. The people of God are called to remember. So the walls are rebuilt. The people are called to remember. And they celebrate this Feast of Booths, which had not been done since the time of Joshua. So God's people are to be disciplined to remember their dependence upon God and their joy in Him. So what are the monuments, if I can use that word with the air quotes around it, that you've set up in your life to remember your dependence upon God and your joy in Him? We'll talk about a few of those but at the end of our time this morning. But so we need to realize what's going on. So I want to ask you to turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8. And it tells us about the wanderings in the wilderness. In Leviticus chapter 23, verses 33 to 43, the idea of the Feast of Booths is laid out for the Israelites. And it's to remember God's dealings with them in the wilderness. And so I want you to look with me at a few verses in Deuteronomy chapter 8 as the wandering in the wilderness is over. Look at verse 2, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And then look at verse 3 and verse 5. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live on bread alone, but lives by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Know then in your heart, verse 5, as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. And continue to look at Deuteronomy chapter 8. Look at verse 8 and 9. But take care. Look at verse 11. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments. And then we're a little bit later on. We're told that we're to remember that it's the Lord God who allows you to make wealth. So in all these wanderings in the wilderness, they were to remember God. So this morning we're going to look at the Feast of Booths and what it signified for the people of God. Because we need to be disciplined to remember our dependence upon God and our joy in him. So the first thing that we need to understand is the Feast of Booths was a call to remembrance. It was a call to remembrance. The people were called by the Feast of Booths to remember. And there were at least four things that they were called to remember. And again, you can see this in Leviticus chapter 23, verses 33 through 43. The whole feast is laid out there. They were called to remember. These feasts were important for the Israelite people. So let me give you the four disciplines that the Feast of Booths represented for the people. The first one is that it was a time to remember their dependence upon God. Again, if you still have your Bibles open to Deuteronomy chapter 8, you'll notice that there were two primary principles that the people of God were to remember. These are given to us in verses 15 and verse 16. The first one, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock. So they were to remember that God led them. And the second great principle, they were to remember that God fed them. Look at verse 16. Who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do good to you in the end. Look on. So it's not, they were to recognize that God's leading and God's feeding them. Beware, verse 17, that you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth. You see, the danger of prosperity, as you know, is that prosperity turns us away from God. In Hosea chapter 13, it says that they had their pastures, and having their pastures, they became satisfied. And becoming satisfied, they forgot God. So we have to remember that it's God is the one that leads us. It's God is the one that feeds us. Remember how he leads you. I want to read to you from Psalm 107. It talks about the fact that God knows how to satisfy the thirsty soul. God is the one that leads you. Some of you will remember what I call the glory days of the North Hills Church. It's the days when you went for a couple of years without a pastor. But God was doing things in your midst. God was leading you. God was guiding you. And then as Catherine and I arrived 25 years ago, God continued the blessings in many ways. But it's God that leads his people. And it's also God that feeds his people. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, Jesus quoted it in Matthew chapter 4:4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but in every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. God is the one that leads you. God is the one that feeds you. God knows how to satisfy the thirsty soul and the hungry soul. He fills with what is good. Jesus himself said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. We have to remember our dependence upon God. God provided for them throughout their entire 40 years. Their sandals did not wear out. He gave them manna from heaven and caused water to spring forth from the rock. God provided for them. And we have to recognize God's provision for us today. But the second thing that the Feast of Booths symbolized, it was a time of thanksgiving. Again, if you look at Leviticus chapter 23, you'll see that it's almost seen as two feasts, but they were the exact same day. The exact same day of the same month. So you had the Feast of Booths, which they were to dwell in these temporary shelters, but also became a celebration of the harvest. So sometimes the Feast of Booths is called the Feast of the Ingathering, because the people were to rejoice before God for the bountiful harvest that they gave them, that he gave them. And so the Feast of the Ingathering, the Feast of Booths, signifies this idea of thanksgiving. It reminds the people to be thankful. And how easy it is for us to forget to be thankful, right? Probably one of the most famous stories of the Lord Jesus that's known in our culture is the story of the 10 lepers. Think about the 10 lepers. They were praying men. They called out to Jesus. They were believing men. They believed that Jesus could heal them. They were obedient men. They went and did the things that Jesus told them to do. But 9 of the 10 were not thankful men. Only one was a man that came back to offer gratitude to Jesus. So the Feast of Booths was a time of thanksgiving for the harvest. I think it's an interesting thing that's developed in our culture, Western culture at least. And that is the idea of giving thanks before we partake of a meal. I think it's an interesting habit. Catherine and I were just with a friend and we had a restaurant and of course, we always pray, and she just started eating. And I thought, well, this is kind of strange, you know. It's become ingrained in us to give thanks before a meal. But I trust that that does not in any way become routine for you. That when you give thanks before the meal, you're truly thinking about to whom you're praying. And you're truly thinking about who you are that is doing the praying. So that we can truly come to God with thankful hearts. So the second discipline that the Feast of Booths represented was the idea of thanksgiving. The third one that it represented was the idea of joy. It's a call to remember our joy in God. In Deuteronomy chapter 16, let me just read to you from Deuteronomy chapter 16. If you want to again turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 16, you'll see a short description of the Feast of Booths. And let me read to you, beginning in verse 13 of Deuteronomy chapter 16. You shall keep the Feast of Booths 7 days when you have gathered in the produce from your threshing floor and from your winepress. You shall rejoice in your feast, you and your son and your daughter and your male and your female servant, the Levite, the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow who are within your towns. For 7 days you shall keep the feast to the Lord your God, at the place that the Lord your God will choose, because the Lord your God will bless you in all your produce and all the work of your hands, so that you will be altogether joyful. So this Feast of Booths, this Feast of Ingathering, had a special emphasis on joy. Is joy a character quality of your life, my friends? You see, joy is to be a picture of the Christian life. I've defined joy this way. It's God's gift of good pleasure and happiness that is a result of the satisfaction of my quest for a fuller life. Joy is derived upon our constant meditation about who Jesus is and what he has done for us. There's a state of gladness and happiness that we're to have because of all the things that Jesus has done for us. So we need to be growing in our discipline of joy. The world
doesn't know what to do with a truly joyful person. But we need to be growing in the discipline of joy. We need to recognize and remind ourselves constantly that the source of our joy is the Lord. In your presence, there's fullness of joy, Psalm 16 says. And we have to recognize that Jesus Christ, as we looked before a couple of weeks ago, we looked at Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. The joy of the Lord is your strength. God is the God of joy. Jesus is the God of joy. In John 15:11, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full." And in 17:13, John 17:13, "Now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, so that they may have my joy made full in themselves." You see, Jesus is joy. And so he wants you to share his joy. How disciplined are you at sharing the joy of Jesus? We need to recognize the source of our joy. And then we also have to realize the disciplines of joy. What are the things that the Bible tells us brings us joy? Well, one, of course, is the Lord himself, the presence of the Lord. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. A second one is that it's the Word of God. In Jeremiah 15:16, "Your words were found and I ate them, and they became for me a joy and the delight of my heart." And then we have to recognize that another source of joy is the faithful. Again, Psalm 16, as for the saints who are in the earth, they are the majestic ones, in whom is all my delight. Psalm 101 tells us that we'd have the faithful before our eyes. It's not the wealthy. It's not the brilliant. It's the faithful people that we're to think about and have our eyes set upon them. Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of truth to you, and considering the outcome of their way of life, imitate their faith. I think one of the great tragedies of our culture is that we put our eyes, the heroes that we have, are rock stars or movie stars or sports stars. We wear their jerseys. Do you know the story of John Newton? We just talked about John Newton. Do you know the story of William Wilberforce or Hudson Taylor or Peter Bowler? You see, I guarantee you if I talk to some of you young people, you could tell me all the statistics of your favorite baseball or football player. We put our eyes on those people and not on the faithful. And I think it's a real tragedy. "As for the saints who are in the earth, they are the majestic ones in whom is all my delight." So we need to learn the discipline of joy. It's in the Lord. It's in the Word. It's in the faithful of God's, the faithful people. So we've looked at dependence, thanksgiving, joy. It's a time to remember transience. The idea that our life is temporary. Again, Leviticus 23:43 reminds them that they had to build a booth to remind them that they were in the wanderings in the wilderness. And so we have to recognize that we are strangers in this world. The Feast of Booths helped the people to remember that. What is it that's helping you to remember that this life is temporary? In Hebrews chapter 11, it says that they confessed that they were strangers and aliens in this world. In 1 Peter chapter 2, "I urge you as strangers and aliens, abstain from the fleshly lusts which wage war against your soul." You see, we're strangers and aliens in this world. D.L. Moody's, one of his favorite verses was Psalm 39. Let me read you Psalm 39, verse 4. Psalm 39, verse 4. "O Lord, make me know my end, and what is the measure of my days, Let me know how fleeting I am. May I ask you, when's the last time you prayed that prayer? Let me read it to you again. O Lord, make me know my end and what is the measure of my days. Let me know how fleeting I am. You remember Jonathan Edwards and his 70 resolutions. One of them was to think often of his death. Now, Jonathan Edwards wasn't a morbid person, but he just realized that if we think of our life and when it's going to end, it will help us to change the way we live. So the Feast of Booths was there to help the people remember that their wanderings in the wilderness were not temporary. The wanderings in the wilderness were not the place that they were seeking. It was only temporary. And we have to recognize that our lives are temporary. Howie Hendricks said this: our failure to see beyond our own lifespan is a real hindrance. Our failure to live, to see beyond our life, is a real hindrance to us. The last recorded words of Martin Luther, quite interesting, very simple phrase: we are beggars, it is true. You see, Martin Luther realized that all of his times for his wanderings on earth, he was simply a beggar crying out to God for the good things that are available to us through Jesus Christ. He is abounding in riches for all those who call upon him. We are beggars. This is true. They had these booths, these temporary shelters. And we need to think often about how short our life is. James 4, your life is like a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. A puff of smoke that's there for a few seconds and vanishes away. The people of God were to realize how transient their life was. And so we need to do the same things. And your life is gone. Do you think that way very often? You see, as we recognize that our lifespan is short, it's very short, it means that we have to learn to invest our lives and not merely live our lives. Unfortunately, most Christians are just going through life, living their lives, but we need to learn to invest our lives. There are only a handful of things that will last for eternity: God Himself, the Word of God. Forever, O God, your word is settled in heaven. The people of God and the kingdom of God. How are you investing your life in these things? You see, your life is transient. So the Feast of Booths was a call to remember for the people of God. But it's also a call to faith. The Feast of Booths was a call to faith. Because you see, as all these festivals pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ, so also the Feast of Booths pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Him was their fulfillment. These are one, of course, for us to recognize as the Feast of the Passover, as fulfilled in Jesus Christ. But I want you to turn with me to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. Can somebody, I have a different edition of the Bible. Can somebody give me a page number when you find it? John chapter 7. Page 1136. Turn with me to John chapter 7, page 1136. And look at verse 2. Now the Jews' Feast of the Booth was at hand. So his brother said to him, "Leave here and go to Judea, that your disciples also may see the works that you are doing." So the Feast of Booths was coming about. And then I want you to turn with me to verses 37 and 38 of the same chapter.
On the last day of the feast, again, the Feast of the Booths. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. You see, Jesus takes this opportunity of the feast and all that it was to symbolize. Their dependence upon God, their thanksgiving, their joy, how transient their lives was. And he focuses that on himself, on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're thirsty, the people in the wilderness were thirsty. But Jesus says, come to me. If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. From his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. As we've looked at this verse in the past, we would have expected Jesus to say something like, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and I will satisfy him. But he doesn't say that. Come to me and from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. This continuous supply of refreshment that Jesus says is in essence the fulfillment of the Feast of Booths. All that you long for with these festivals, they're now fulfilled in me and in the coming of the Spirit. And so John 1:4 says that Jesus, the Word, became flesh and tabernacled among us. The Feast of the Tabernacles is probably in view there. The Word became flesh and dwelt or tabernacled among us. You see, these festivals of joy, these festivals of remembrance, they're to point to Jesus Christ. They have the fulfillment in him. Come to me if you're thirsty. You see, it's the power and the presence of the Spirit that is going to be the greatest provision that you need. It's the power and presence of the Spirit that is going to well up into your soul in thanksgiving. It's the power and presence of the Spirit that is going to produce joy in your life. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. It's the power and presence of the Spirit that is going to help us realize how transient we are. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard and which have not entered into the hearts of men, all that God has prepared for those who love them, who love him. But to us, he's revealed it through the Spirit. So as we think of the Feast of Booths, remember the Spirit. Remember that God has put eternity in your hearts. And that's, we're given a glimpse of what that eternity is like by the power of the Spirit. So as you think about the Spirit, and Jesus used this to teach at the Feast of Booths, it's important to remember that we're to live by the Spirit. We're not under obligation to live according to the flesh, as Paul says in Romans 8. But we're under obligation to live according to the Spirit. So are you living according to the Spirit? Are you walking in the Spirit? Are you filled with the Spirit? Are you purposing to live in such a way that you do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God? Let me give you four things, four disciplines that you have to do to walk in the Spirit. First of all is consecration. Your life has to be consecrated, a purpose to live a holy life. Again, Ephesians 4:30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom we were sealed for the day of redemption. It's your sinful patterns, my sinful patterns, that grieve the Holy Spirit. So it's consecration. We have to dedicate our lives to follow Jesus. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Then the second thing is consecration. The third one is concentration. We have to remember that you are in Christ, that you are in Christ. We have to concentrate on that. You are in Christ. Then there's the idea of consciousness. You have to be constantly aware of the fact that Jesus is in you, that Christ is in you. And then the fourth thing I'd like to share with you is the idea of continuous confession. Acknowledging
that you are in Christ, that Christ is in you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own insight. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. We need to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is there. Romans chapter 10. If you confess with your lips Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the lips man believes, resulting in justification. With the heart he believes, resulting in salvation. As the scriptures say, he who believes in Him will never be disappointed. So my friends, the Spirit, the coming of the Spirit is the fulfillment of the Feast of Booths. It's a fulfillment of our recognizing our dependence upon God, our thanksgiving before Him, our joy in Him, and the transience of our lives. I invite you to pray for the good gifts of the Spirit of God. If you put Matthew 7 and Luke 11 together, you have the same phrase, just slightly different. God knows how to give the Spirit to those who ask. And God knows how to give the good gifts of the Spirit to those who ask. My friends, if you are struggling in your Christian life, if you are being deceived by the things of this world, I want to challenge you to pray every day this week for the good gifts of the Spirit to be given to you. Because the world will deceive you and lead you away from dependence upon God, from thanksgiving, from joy, and to recognize how short your lifespan is. It's the Spirit that renews. It's the Spirit that gives life. Lean on Him. Ask for His good gifts to be given to you. Let's pray together. Thank you, God, for the good gifts of your Spirit. Father, we need the leading of your Spirit. We need the feeding that comes from your Spirit. Thank you that you give, you know how to give the good gifts of your Spirit to those who ask. So we ask that you would give us those good gifts as we face this coming week with its perhaps disappointments, frustrations, tediousness, that we would have the good gifts of the Spirit so that we might take hold of that which is life indeed. So thank you, Father. Thank you for the good gifts of your Spirit. Help us, God, to remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead. It's in His name that we pray. Amen.